in the limelight.
The mid-February fiasco staged against Iran in the capital of Poland, staged by the quixotic regime in Washington, ended in failure, as is evident by its results, according to Canada-based American journalist, peace and international human rights activist Robert Fontina, who writes regularly for counterpunch.org and worriesacrime.org. Stay with us for his article titled "The United States, Iran, and the Warsaw Conference." The United States March Ballyhooed Conference in Warsaw, the purpose of which was to gather support for more pressure on Iran, is now over. This exercise in futility did not gain the so-called benefits that President Donald Trump and his racist, jingoistic cohorts had hoped. Rather, it exposed disagreements between the U.S. and many of its allies and worsened some of them. Some U.S. allies sent low-level representatives a direct slap in the face to the U.S. Some went even further and skipped the event. Many of those invited, whether or not they attended, have criticized the U.S. for its withdrawal from the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, and are still seeking ways to circumvent U.S.-threatened sanctions if they continue to comply with the agreement. Iran, whose peaceful nuclear development program is regulated by the agreement, continues to be in compliance, as certified by international inspectors, although it is clearly under no legal obligation to do so. When one party to an agreement violates it, that agreement is null and void. Prior to the Warsaw Conference, Twitter saw considerable activity in support of it. This could have been due to U.S. propaganda in baselessly portraying Iran as the monster of the world. One wonders how U.S. government officials can possibly accuse Iran of being the foremost sponsor of terror in the world baselessly, when the U.S. is currently bombing at least six countries, is working to overthrow the democratically elected governments of Syria and Venezuela, has invaded, bombed, or otherwise destabilized at least 30 countries in the last 50 years, and has caused the deaths of at least 20 million people. Iran, on the other hand, hasn't invited another country since 1798. Yes, that is 221 years. But perhaps the U.S. hasn't been all that successful, and the increase in tweets was due to some other cause. Trita Parsi activist reports on his Twitter page that a huge number of those anti-Iran tweets were placed by bots. For the uninitiated, a bot is short for robot, defined as a program that operates as an agent for a user or another program or stimulates a human activity, unquote. It is an electronic method for doing all kinds of things on computers, including recognizing words on tweets and resending them. Any individual with a rudimentary knowledge of programming can create a bot, get it to identify keywords such as Iran, Warsaw, and increasing sanctions, to name just a few possibilities, and then have it retweet those entries to thousands or potentially millions of other Twitter accounts. Why might someone do this? For people who seek Iran's destruction but recognize that this is not what the people of Iran want, it is one way of skewing the perception. And who would want this? The ugly alliance of the United States and the Israeli regime constitute the greatest threat to Iran. The apartheid Zionist entity wants complete hegemony in West Asia, North Africa region, which would allow it to kill all the Palestinians and take their land. They use pro-Israel lobbies in the U.S. to purchase members of Congress, which then grant the Israeli regime unprecedented amounts of foreign aid and impunity from its crimes in the United Nations. It is a very poorly kept secret that Israeli regime spends millions upon millions of dollars to combat the boycott, divest, and sanction that is BDS movement. Additionally, the Zionist regime of Israel pays university students to write positive things about it on social media. It forbids any investigation of its accusations of war crimes, proclaiming that its own investigations are sufficient. Those investigations exonerate it every time. Does the Israeli regime commit war crimes and crimes against humanity? In the 2014 slaughter of the Gaza Strip, the Israeli regime bombed residences, mosques, press buildings, hospitals, schools, and United Nations refugee centers. That's six war crimes right there. The Israeli regime army terrorists shoot unarmed, incapacitated Palestinians. War crime number seven. Those same terrorists guard illegal settler terrorists as they commit crimes against innocent Palestinians. And what about general violations of international law? The blockade of the Gaza Strip, the occupation of the West Bank, the housing of over 500,000 illegal settlers on Palestinian land are just three examples. The United States supported the MKO, once designated as a terrorist organization, but now welcomed into the U.S. family of violence. The MKO has as its goal the overthrow of the Iranian government and has killed thousands of innocent people. How would U.S. spokespeople respond? One wonders if Iran, Russia, and other nations actively supported an organization whose goal was to overthrow of the U.S. government. No doubt, any such nation would be quickly introduced to U.S. bombs. The United States and the Israeli regime are trying to isolate Iran, if not overthrow its government, and replace it with one more to their liking, as was done in 1953, when the U.S., through its own terrorist cell, known as the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, overthrew the democratically elected government of Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh and reinstalled the brutal Shah of Iran as monarch. For the next 26 years, he oppressed the people of Iran until he was overthrown in 1979 against the wishes of the United States. That revolution established the Islamic Republic of Iran, which the U.S. has opposed since its inception. The Shah did as his U.S. masters directed. They cared not at all about his oppressive brutality. And when the Iranian people finally were able to rid themselves of the U.S. puppet and establish the government of their own choosing, their new leaders were not quite so amenable to acceding to U.S. demands. Thus, the U.S. has chosen to sanction Iran for decades, support its enemies, and spread lies about the nation. The Warsaw Conference didn't quite accomplish U.S. goals, since most of the world is highly suspicious of the erratic and bellicose U.S. president, not wanting to anger him. U.S. violence has already been mentioned, but not particularly interested in following him over the cliff either. And the other signatories to the JCPOA continue to seek ways to trade with Iran, thus providing Iran with the benefits that agreement promised. What the U.S. will do next is anyone's guess. Bombing Iran or supporting the Israeli regime in doing so would not bode well for West Asia or the rest of the world. Iran is a large and powerful country, which would not look favorably upon any such attack. It is hoped that Europe will continue to trade with Iran, enabling its people to live in peace and prosperity. U.S. efforts to the contrary will not turn out well, least of all for the U.S.